First, let's take a look at our headlines.
Cuban president meets with King of Lesotho.
No confirmed coronavirus cases reported in Cuba.
Puerto Rican independence leader Rafael Cancel Miranda dies at the age of 89.
Julian Assange extradition hearing suspended until May.
And now the news in detail.
Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel welcomed this Monday here in Havana the King of Lesotho, Letzi III, who is making an official visit to the island. During the meeting, both parties confirmed the good relations between the two nations and reaffirmed their will to continue developing and expanding political dialogue as well as cooperation in the areas of health, education, and sports. Other international issues were also discussed. The Cuban leader thanked the support of the Kingdom of Lesotho in the struggle for the lifting of the U.S. government blockade against the Cuban people.
Cuba declared that there are no people diagnosed with the new coronavirus, which already affects 66 countries. Health authorities are increasing steps to strengthen epidemiological surveillance and control in airports, ports, and marinas. Authorities from the Ministry of Public Health, MINSAP, explained that the island is preparing conditions and improving capacities of the health system for any case that may arise. Dr. Francisco Duran, National Director of Epidemiology at MINSAP, stressed the need for the population to be aware of the hard work of surveillance and monitoring that all the specialized personnel are conducting at the point of entry and exit of the country, in strict compliance with the regulations of international health control. He stated that the monitoring of passengers with symptoms of acute respiratory disease has increased. People identified are required to know and follow the control measures for 14 days after their arrival.
Puerto Rican independence activist Rafael Cancel Miranda died on Monday at the age of 89. He passed away at his residence in Rio Piedras in the municipality of San Juan, according to his widow, Maria de Los Angeles Vázquez, and his youngest son, Rafael Cancel Vázquez. Rafael had been hospitalized in San Juan for several weeks. According to the information provided by his family, his health suffered an accelerated deterioration due to his advanced age, which motivated his doctors to send him home to Rio Piedras. Cancel Miranda was the last survivor of the four militant nationalists who, on March 1, 1954, shot at members of the U.S. House of Representatives to protest U.S. colonial rule over Puerto Rico. The assault on the U.S. Congress earned him a quarter century in U.S. prisons and boundless reverence from the Puerto Rican independence movement. The Puerto Rican independence movement considered Rafael Cancel Miranda one of its top freedom fighters of the 20th century.
In Britain, a judge has suspended the extradition hearing for WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange until mid-May. This comes after 4 days last week of intense deliberations between Assange's legal team and attorneys representing the United States government. If extradited to the United States, Assange faces up to 175 years in prison for charges related to the Espionage Act.
You've tuned to Radio Havana, Cuba. Thanks for joining us on the international shortwave radio frequencies of RHC, Radio Havana, Cuba. Let's go back over now to our news with Elena Valverde and Susana Nieves.
Cuban Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez conveyed his condolences to the Puerto Rican people for the death of independence fighter Rafael Cancel Miranda. With deep regret, we learned of the death of Puerto Rico's renowned independence fighter and great friend of Cuba, Rafael Cancel Miranda. Our heartfelt condolences go out to the Puerto Rican people, his family and friends, wrote the foreign minister on Twitter. Rafael Cancel Miranda was considered the hero of the Puerto Rican independence movement and was imprisoned in U.S. maximum security prisons for 25 years. Upon his release from prison in 1979, pardoned by then-U.S. President Jimmy Carter, Rafael continued to work tirelessly for the independence of his homeland.
The Cuban Academy of Sciences, in coordination with the Cuban Center of Neurosciences, began on Monday a forum to debate the multiple facets of scientific research about the alleged health incidents reported by the U.S. Embassy diplomats since late 2016. Is There Havana Syndrome? Is the name of the international scientific event, reports Juventud Rebelde newspaper. The meeting is being streamed on the Cuban Public Health Ministry's YouTube channel, and its goal is to reach the truth with a frank scientific discussion, said Dr. Mitchell Valdez Sosa, director of the Neurosciences Center. Valdez highlighted the different opinions expressed in the forum and the critical and respectful nature with which scientific evidence is being discussed to reach the best conclusions, along with Cuban experts, specialists from the United States, Canada, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom are taking part in the event.
The number of confirmed coronavirus infections continues to grow worldwide. Cases have now been confirmed in at least 66 countries, with the death toll surpassing 3,000. The first two fatalities on U.S. soil were reported in Washington State. Both deaths were at the Evergreen Health Hospital in Kirkland, and both men were residents of the same nursing home. A genetic analysis shows that the virus was likely circulating undetected over the past 6 weeks in Washington State, potentially infecting hundreds of people. There are now at least 89 cases in the U.S., with New York, Oregon, Rhode Island, and Florida reporting new infections. President Donald Trump, meanwhile, is claiming that criticism of his handling of the outbreak is part of a democratic hoax.
The president of Argentina, Alberto Fernández, strongly criticized the coup government in Bolivia, pointed out that the rule of law was violated with the ouster of Evo Morales. He demanded prompt democratization in the country, with the full participation of the people. According to a report published by the Washington Post and carried out by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, Evo Morales won last year's election by more than 10 points without any fraud, the president wrote. In a series of tweets on his Twitter account, Fernandez said, "As I've always pointed out, in Bolivia, the rule of law was violated with the actions of the armed forces and sectors of the opposition to the then president and with the complicity of OAS, which had been called to ensure the full validity of democracy." The MIT study questions the report in which OAS stated that there were irregularities in the elections, which served as a justification for its Secretary General, Luis Almagro, to claim that there was fraud in favor of Morales.
Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif has said the U.S. is leaving Afghanistan after two decades of humiliation following a so-called peace deal between the Taliban and the United States. U.S. occupiers should have never invaded Afghanistan, but they did and blamed everyone else for the consequences, Zarif said in a tweet. Now, after 19 years of humiliation, the United States has tendered its surrender. The Iranian foreign minister noted that U.S. military presence has been a source of suffering for Afghanistan and other countries such as Syria, Iraq, and Yemen. It will leaving a huge mess behind, he added. An agreement between the U.S. and the Taliban in Qatar sets the stage for the end of nearly two decades of war in Afghanistan. Under the deal, the Taliban will sever ties with Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups and sit down for peace talks with the Afghan government. In return, Washington will start a phased withdrawal of troops. The Afghan government did not take part in talks which led to the deal. Earlier this week, Iran's foreign ministry issued a statement saying that the pact was an attempt by Washington to justify its illegal presence in Afghanistan.
Trump's plan to settle the Israeli-Palestinian conflict will bring anything but peace to the region, former Danish Foreign Minister and United Nations General Assembly President Mogens Lykketoff told Russia today, as it only cements apartheid-like conditions for the Palestinians. Nikitaev is among a large group of former high-ranking European officials who published an open letter warning about the dangers of the Trump plan and urging the European Union to firmly reject any U.S. attempts to somehow implement it. The plan was pompously unveiled by the U.S. President Donald Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in January, but it was immediately condemned by Palestinians and many countries worldwide. While critics blasted the project for effectively ceding Jerusalem to Israel, legitimizing occupation, disregarding rights of the Palestinian refugees and so on, its proponents advertised the project as a solution to making peace and creating a supposedly independent Palestinian state. The main issue with the plan, Likatov argued, is that it will provide neither peace nor independence. It doesn't deliver at all what it says it will deliver, namely the peace and the two-state solution, he told RT, explaining that the signatories of the open letter believe Trump's plan will only legitimize the existing status quo while making the conditions for the Palestinians even worse.
And those are some of the stories we're following for you. Let's take a look once again at our headlines.
Cuban president meets with King of Lesotho.
No confirmed coronavirus cases reported in Cuba.
Puerto Rican independence leader Rafael Cancel Miranda died at the age of 89.
Julian Assange extradition hearing suspended until May.